You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Thursday, Mike McNamara with you. In the past, I've introduced Will Cosentini as a friend. I'm not doing that today. Take that. Come out to California, don't call. What is wrong with you?
Consideration. All right. You get in at like 2300, I wasn't going to call you.
I was there for
36 hours.
So that's your excuse. I got in at 2300, so I was. So like 2300 normally doesn't bother people on a lot of occasions. All of a sudden, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I figure if anyone in the world needs their beauty sleep.
There you go. Well played, Maurer. Well played. All right. For those of you who don't know, we have to do a thumbnail. Recap. Will Cosentini, born and raised where?
Little town called Dryden, upstate New York.
All right. Finds his way to the Naval Academy in the Marine Corps. Give us a 60-second thumbnail of your Marine Corps career.
I was an infantry officer. I was very lucky in the first half of my career. I was a platoon commander, company XO, company commander, battalion 3, battalion XO, basic school instructor, UN, military observer after the Gulf War. And that was the first half of my career. And the second half of career, I sort of paid for my sins. I did 3 tours in the Pentagon at headquarters, joint staff, commanded 1st LAR for 2 years, commanded the weapons training battalion at Quantico, and finished up with 3 years in the ACMAX office, retired in the summer of 2013.
Okay. And so we're going to talk Marines on management today, right?
We are.
All right. Now, before we do that, I want to talk a little bit of current events with you. Marine Corps is embroiled. Embroiled isn't the right word. The Marine Corps is faced with another social media challenge. I'm curious about your thoughts on it.
Yeah, so I'm old. I don't have a Facebook account. I've thought about it a couple times. I just don't know what I would give up so that I could make time for that. But everyone of that generation who's just a couple years younger than me does. I look at this. I have a lot of sympathy for anyone in command out there. How do you police every second of every day? And you would hope that the force would be self-policing because we recruit and we stress core values. But like it or not, this stuff is going to happen. And, there's going to be accountability. And I think, there's going to be some guys caught up that we probably didn't need. And there's going to be some other guys caught up that probably, if they would have thought about it, said, geez, I wish I didn't do that. And so really unfortunate that this is what the Commandant is going to be spending his time on. There's probably a couple other things going on out there. But I don't have a good solution. I mean, do you?
Well, first of all, define the problem for me. Is it a climate of sexual harassment in the Marine Corps? Is that bubbles up in social media, or is it a social media problem, or is it both?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, at a very fundamental level, do male Marines respect female Marines? That's rhetorical. I think about a couple things. I spent a little bit of time with the Royal Marines. And Royal Marines are interesting because everyone in the Royal Marines goes through some fairly significant tests in their recruit training. And the beauty of the Royal Marines, it's pretty small, but every Royal Marine knows that every other Royal Marine did those same things. And they were gut checks for those guys. And so there's a mutual respect there. And in the Marine Corps, we want to have that, but I'm not sure that we do. And it's, in fact, I know that we don't. Okay. And so then when you have different standards, like it or not, you have different standards for men and women. So that you know that not everyone, first of all, was it a real gut check? And then secondly, did everyone have to do that? And if your organization has got a certain ethos that your physical capability and capacity is a significant part of who you are within the organization, but there's different standards, I think that breeds a little cynicism, and it's challenging as a leader to be able to step up and say, you know, we're one big band of brothers and sisters. And so I think there's a fundamental, that's a fundamental problem. The other part of it is...
Let me ask you a question about the Royal Marine piece of that. Are there females in the Royal Marines?
No.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's just policy or the simple fact that there's no way they could get through the commando tests.
Okay. All right. So huge difference. Okay, huge difference.
It's a huge difference.
What we do in the Marine Corps is we have for enlisted Marines we have separate recruit training, and we visited that on numerous occasions, that issue. And I will tell you that the female Marines that I have on the program, they don't want integrated boot camp training.
No. Beyond that, Mac, though, we have separate standards.
Well, no, exactly. That lead to, that have separate standards. And so, to me, and we need separate standards, right? So they can be competitive for promotion.
But, okay, so what's the problem you're trying to solve?
I'm trying to solve the problem that there's no female that's going to play on the Naval Academy's football team, basketball team, baseball team, or men's soccer team this year. Again.
Yeah.
That's the problem. What I'm trying to solve is there's a difference between us in terms of our physical capabilities. I somehow have to make that equal in order to, so that females can get promoted at the same rate that men get promoted.
Yeah, but you can't make it equal. And if the organization, if the culture in the organization, part of it is physical prowess, okay, but the standards are different, I think it leads to a certain degree of cynicism, and it leads to a certain lack of respect for female Marines.
Okay.
And I'm not making a value...
No, okay.
And so that lack of respect gets manifested in many different ways.
Okay, so I would say you and I both have our peers don't have, you know, respect female Marines. They intellectually have a problem with female Marines being in infantry units and combat arms units, because you know, there's a genuine belief that they can't do it and that it's going to be a detriment to the force as a whole. The Integrated Ground Combat Study concluded that the best females were equal to or below the lowest 5% of males in the study. Why do we want to grow that portion, male or female, of the force? The answer is we don't. So, but it doesn't, that intellectual disagreement, or I don't know how you would characterize that, that intellectual disagreement doesn't impact the way they treat them as Marines, though. I mean, they can intellectually separate it. Your contention is this differential that we have lends itself to what, the fools among us doing foolish things?
Well, you and I are talking about field grade officers, all right? I actually don't know who's on this Facebook page or anything like it. Right. I assume that it's junior enlisted people for the most part, okay? And so they may look at the problem a little bit differently. And I think that if they had a fundamental respect for everyone within their unit because they knew that person did the same things that they did and that they found those things challenging, they had a level of respect for those people, then you wouldn't see things like this popping up. I mean, maybe I'm full of it, but I think at its very, very core, there is something there. If you genuinely respect that person, look up to them, you know, why do you want to be in the Marine Corps? Because you want to be like them, then I believe it's less likely that this kind of stuff is going to go on.
Okay, knowing that can't happen, though.
I know. So that's what I say. I got sympathy for commanders out there, because how do you develop a command climate that is somewhat based on a lie? Is somewhat based on a lie, or not a lie as strong. Somewhat based on something that's not quite true. And so it makes it hard. And when the commander stands up there and says, we have to respect each other, okay, that can be imposed from the top, but now you're going to be policing them. You know, it's trustees and prisoners, as opposed to an organization of genuine mutual respect, willingness to sacrifice, et cetera. And, you know, at the very sharp end, you always find that, because the enemy allows people to focus. But when you're not there at the sharp end, I think commands are going to be challenged. And if this just turns into a big lecture, you know, on a slideshow, and, you know, we have to respect each other because I say so, right? It's not really addressing the problem, and it's leaving commanders out there holding the bag. And I will watch from the sidelines in admiration for someone who can solve this. But I think if we're unwilling to grapple with the true fundamental issues, then we're not likely to solve it.
Okay. I would tell you that we won't grapple with that fundamental issue because...
Yeah, I agree. Right? I'd like to be a little bit of an optimist, but I agree.
No, come on. You know that the tune that comes out of Washington, D.C., right, is this logical turd? Okay, we will open up all these MOSs to females. Well, that makes them equal, right? Well, yeah. Okay, then they should register for the draft. What? they should register for the draft, though. All women, now that we're all interchangeable parts, should register for the draft. Hold on one second. Hey, how is that polling in the district? 90-10 against? Oh, yeah, well, no, we're against that. Well, wait a minute, but logically you're telling me that we're all interchangeable pieces and it's by merit, so then we should all serve, yes? No, that's not what I... So, right?
Yeah, and the other thing it does is it puts senior leaders in a very bad position, right? Because if you know, part of what we do is, if you're given an order that's legal, moral, and ethical, you execute the order. That's what you do. That's how the organization runs. At one point, you run up against sort of an ethical boundary, though, because you and I and everyone else fundamentally knows that by introducing women into the infantry, more Marines are going to get hurt.
Right.
For no good reason. Most of them are going to be female.
Correct.
In training.
They're going to get broken, physically broken.
Yeah. And then, so if you continue, though, and you take it to combat, so more people are going to be dead. Some of those are going to be male, a bunch of female.
Right.
So have you crossed an ethical sort of boundary there by saying, hey, we've been told to do this, we're going to do it? And that's the part I actually don't like to look at that question, because I have genuine admiration and respect for the people at the top of the organization now. I don't want to challenge that fundamental belief I have in them, because at some point we have crossed an ethical boundary, knowing that we are going to physically break people for no good reason. It says, well, they're volunteers. Bullshit. That doesn't matter. We are professional military officers. We know better. We can read statistics. It's not a moral problem because boys and girls are going to be living together. I'm over that.
Right.
It's a moral ethical problem because Marines that we care about, that we have that father-son, father-daughter, mother-daughter, mother-son, sister-brother, brother-brother relationship with, and we genuinely care. And we know that they're going to get hurt. Some of them are going to be crippled for life for no good reason. So that we can find the 1/100th of 1%, it's bullshit. And that the idea that we're allowing ourselves to be manipulated by a certain portion of the political spectrum out there is not right. I think back at General Kulak a little bit. I remember when the woman who was up at OSD accused him of being, what did she say? You know what I mean? Like an extremist or something.
Right.
And he said, yeah, we're extremely loyal. We're extremely tough. That's how we're extreme. And I think the Marine Corps as an organization can make that argument. And listen, I'm not saying the Marine Corps, there shouldn't be any women in the Marine Corps, because, like it or not, I served with all kinds of great women, mostly officers, some enlisted, in the top part of my profile, and captains and majors. There's a couple of female officers that were absolutely top-notch. I think if you were to poll them, they would say putting women in the infantry is bizarro. But we're doing it. So, again, anyhow, you want to talk about management? Because we can go on this all day and still never solve it.
The give me a solution to. I just want to get my hands around this online problem thing.
Yeah.
Have we had enough classes now? And is it simply time for people who do these things to get the wood laid to them? We don't need more classes. Everybody knows the rules. Is it simply time for the Marine Corps to do what it says it's going to do, which is have no tolerance for this stuff?
Yeah, so, okay, so first define the crime.
Right.
And then hold people accountable. And because, listen, the people that are criticizing us in Congress now, for the most part, you know, just do the Google search on it. They hate us. They hate the professional military. They particularly hate the Marine Corps. I'm over their criticism. We got friends out there criticizing us, and we should be criticizing ourselves as well. So don't knee-jerk trying to make, you know, the strident voices of part of the spectrum happy. You're never going to make them happy unless you turn camouflage into pink, okay? It is not. So don't worry about that. They're never going to vote for anything that supports the Marine Corps. They don't care about the Marine Corps. Don't worry about that. Listen to our friends and listen to ourselves. We know what's right and what's wrong. Hold people accountable. And you know what? Don't make all the hardworking, good Marines who know right and wrong go through another 12-hour stand down and don't post naked pictures of female Marines on your Facebook page, right? Don't make me do that. Find the people that did wrong, prosecute them, move on. If you're going to do a 12-hour stand down, do a 12-hour stand down to argue about the SAW and the IAR or what's a proper diet for a professional warrior. It's, don't make me go through Facebook and post the naked pictures. One man's opinion.
No, you know what? I agree with you. We're beyond that. Look, and this is an ongoing battle. This certainly captivates the public's attention because of the subject matter, and because, you know, it's social media and it's sex. Okay, all that stuff is. But there's laws on the books from revenge porn. And I do think the DOD ought to have a specific article in the UCMJ so that this is not covered by Article 133 and 134. I believe it ought to be covered by, you know, a specific, you know, article. And that way everybody knows the transmission of a digital image that somebody sent to you with the expectation of privacy is punishable under the Uniform Code of Military Justice specifically by this. Do not do that. It is there. It belongs to them. You know, so I do think that, but other than that adjustment, it's an ongoing fight. It's a fight in our high schools. It's a fight in our colleges. And so the Marine Corps is just another piece of that. You know, I think we do more in terms of sensitivity training and all of that. But there are fools among us. There's fools in college.
Yeah.
And so I'm with you. Punish them and continue about the work and show people by facing, you know, taking the face shot, doing the right thing that we're up to the challenge of this. But again,
and do not take the moral whipping from people who have no interest in making us better.
Well, it's interesting. Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps was up on Capitol Hill yesterday, and don't say anything when I read you this name. But Debbie Wasserman Schultz, representative type, was at the hearing, ranking member of the Subcommittee on Military Construction and Veteran Affairs, and she told Sergeant Major Green that she wasn't satisfied with what she called the muted response relative to the troubling allegations that female troops are being harassed, stalked, and victimized by their male counterparts. Quote, it doesn't send the right message to your women in the Marine Corps when there is a muted reaction from your leadership, as I certainly interpreted there was. Sergeant Major responded, we're outraged. There are some things we'd like to say, but we have to be careful about what we say. And Green cited specifically the allegations of unlawful command influence when General Amos reacted in 2013 very aggressively to sexual assault allegations and the actions of Marine snipers in Afghanistan. And he was roundly criticized, and his actions were brought up in different legal actions around the Marine Corps. And the Commandant of the Marine Corps has made a very, very public statement about it. The Marine Corps has issued talking points. But I would say that Representative Schultz falls into that category of she got an agenda, and that is she wants to see women treated as physical equals in the military. And I think
beyond that, Debbie Wasserman Schultz hates the Marine Corps. She hates it because it's not subject to all the things that she believes in. Debbie Wasserman Schultz has never done anything positive for the Marine Corps, never is someone that would call the Commandant and offer support or advice or ask how she can assist. And so the proper response to her is, thank you for your interest in national security. Out. She's not going to vote for you if you do something. She's not going to vote for you if you don't do something. I'm not interested in her criticism. I'm interested in people that know us and that care about us. But before that, before I need to hear it from Congress, we know ourselves. We know what's right and wrong. The Commandant, I mean, God bless. You and I both know him. He knows right and wrong. He's more annoyed about this, and not because what Congress people think, but because he's a professional Marine officer and he cares about the institution. So I wouldn't go up there and be flagellated by those kind of people. Hey, you got to do it. It's part of the job. Good response by the Sergeant Major. But I'm not going to dignify their stupidity by anything more than a thank you out.
Will Constantini, my guest this morning. Used to be a friend of mine, not the case anymore. came was less than 50 miles away from me and never called. Let me read you an email. Hey, Mac, I was reading a CNN article, and after much discussion of some of the stupid things that were said by obviously idiots relative to female Marines, and it does sound like they were junior enlisted or, God forbid, junior officers. But it sounded like junior enlisted Marines talking the normal shit they talk. At the end of the article, there was a comment from the CNN writer that based on conversations that he had with investigators, that they believed that it was about a few dozen people that were doing this. It's hard to believe that all of this is about the actions of a few dozen in an organization that's approximately 185,000 on active duty, and I'm not even sure how many reservists.
40,000 reserve, 40,000 reserve, 35,000 civilians. Yeah.
And he goes on, a few dozen, absolutely incredible. Obviously, the story has legs because of the sexual nature of it. I hope the Marine Corps lays the wood to these idiots, because certainly the women involved in it do not deserve that. It's wrong. I have daughters, and I can't imagine how I would feel, how my wife would feel, and how my daughters would feel if something that they sent in confidence, and I've heard what Mike Musselman has said about you shouldn't be sending this stuff, but you know what? All of us make mistakes in life. Just because you make a mistake doesn't give anybody the right to exploit it. And so I hope the Marine Corps lays the wood to these people, and I hope it doesn't deviate too much. And then he goes on, I enjoy the program, and keep up the good work. Your thoughts on that? A few dozen. I mean, that's not a surprise, certainly, but
yeah, I mean, how many guys pop positive last month?
Oh.
You know, look, if we could get above 90% doing whatever, you know, we think we're signed up to, that's a pretty good day. Above 95% is a great day. Above 99%, it's a phenomenal day. So what is, let's see, so 1% of the active duty force would be what? 1,800. So 1/10 of 1% is 180. 1/100 of 1% is 18. 1/100 of 1%. Maybe 2/100 of 1%. I'll take it. So.
All right. You ready to talk management?
Bam.
All right. We've been talking current events in the Marine Corps, and we're gonna change gears and talk management. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at BattleMug.com, home of the Battle Mug. Will, you got a Battle Mug?
I do not.
All right. You should get one. Starts as a 10.5.
If I had a friend, they'd send
it. Yeah, you know what? That's right. You don't. Starts out as a 10.5 block of T6 billet aluminum, and after it's milled, machined, and anodized, ready for you to make your own. And Picatinny rails on the side. It got ready for a scope, ready for lasers, ready for cameras, ready for lights. All of it, so you can make the Battle Mug your own. You can check out the full line of products at battlemug.com. Use the promo code Marine for 15% off. Perfect for any commemorative event, farewell, promotions, retirements, birthdays, anniversaries, or any time that you want to get somebody truly a special gift. Again, check out the full line of products at battlemug.com. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned, operated company, and the product made entirely in the United States. We're going to take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Six on a Thursday. You too. City of Blinding Lights. On your 50,000 watt music, Mother of the Valley. That's right. All Marine Radio. All right. Let's talk about management. I had a Marine captain who got out, and she has a consulting company now. And so she was on the program last week. Her name's Angie Morgan, and
I know her.
You know her? How do you know her?
She came in. I think General Amos had her come in to talk. Women in the Marine Corps, like 2011 or 12, probably.
Okay, so Angie contends that the Marine Corps is the greatest leadership school on the planet. And I want to get your thoughts on it. You've been out of the Marine Corps for a while. You've been in the private sector. You agree with that?
Yeah, you know, interestingly, what you see, at least, I got limited experience, one small company, networked around with different people. But, you know, we have a model in the Marine Corps. So we train people, sometimes we train and educate them, then we put them into a position, and then if they're any good, we promote them, and then we send them back for a little more training, education, put them into another position. And you're expected to continue to be trained in technical skills, educated in leadership and other things, and then execute to those. In the company I was in, you know, I had a bunch of people who had been there for almost 40 years, and they were basically PFC. You know, they never had a requirement to get any more training or education, never did get any more. I had people that were put in management roles that had no real formal training at all. Everything was OJT for them. And then at the senior executive level in the company, the people that had advanced degrees were all MBAs and a lawyer, I guess. And they had been through different positions in various and sundry companies, but outside of whatever few credits you get in an MBA program that looks at leadership, they've never really had anything. And I found many times it was hard to have conversations with people because they didn't recognize that you have to talk about leadership and train leadership, and no matter what you think you're doing, you're actually doing something associated with leadership. And if you don't know the messaging that you're putting out or the style that you're putting out, that can be very detrimental to the organization. And so I think the Marine Corps and I assume all the military services recognize how critical that is. That you can't just keep moving people belt fed up a system and think that they're just going to figure it out on their own. And so we devote a lot of resources. Think about the resources Marine Corps devotes over their career to training people in leadership. But I think it has huge value. The organization wouldn't survive without it. So I 1,000% agree with her on that.
All right. Do you think, I think there's intimidation. That might not be the right word. I think a lot of people are intimidated by getting out and do these same skills that I've been taught and practice translate in the civilian world. The more I talk to people like Angie, the more I conclude that not only are they good, but there isn't nearly enough of them out there, and your skills are going to be prized out there once you're able to make, you know, just a cultural adaptation. Because what is it? It is about, one, caring about your Marines, right? All right, that engenders loyalty, and so so those things are often things that employees have never experienced in their life, based on who's led them. And so you truly have a unique opportunity to go and maybe write a new chapter for at least a part of a business. And as opposed to approaching that with trepidation, to me, I think there should be a ton of enthusiasm for it. And I would say this, the cultural adaptation, in my opinion, is no different than when you're a captain and you have to go talk to a group of corporals. You walk in and you have to change the way you communicate a little bit. You certainly don't change who you are, but there's a certain way that you're expected to conduct yourself. It changes when you're a lieutenant and you go up to brief lieutenant colonels and colonels, right? The things that are acceptable with your lieutenant friends are not acceptable probably in the company of more senior people. So I think we do it all the time. I don't think we realize how we do it. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. The difference, though, is that all too often in the civilian world, I don't think that people recognize a deficiency. You know, I can't tell you how many times I had conversations and people said, well, it's just common sense. Well, it's actually a little bit more than that. You know, you got to think about the organization, what you're trying to achieve, where are they coming from, what can you do? What credibility do you have? What are you willing to give of yourself? And have you actually done that? And so all the innate skills and all the trained skills that you have still may not be recognized on first contact. But over time, they just naturally come out. You know, the company I joined, I didn't know a soul. I didn't know the technical parts of the organization whatsoever. And doing some very basic marine things. You know, getting between them and the highest level in the organization, taking a few incoming rounds for them, expecting them to work together and to sacrifice for each other and to do the right thing, pure and simple. We're going to do the right thing. And being willing to be accountable for that, yeah, I think it built a lot of loyalty and it built a much more cohesive and higher performing team than was there before me. And in the meantime, being willing to learn. Hey, look, I was in how many times in my career where I had to learn from Lance Corporals and Staff Sergeants and Lieutenants. You know, I went to be the CO of 1st LAR. I'd never touched an LAV before in my life. I was a CO of Weapons Training Battalion. I didn't know anything about manufacturing sniper rifles. So being willing to learn from people, all those things play out over time. But on first contact, particularly with senior leaders, at least, again, you know, I have very limited experience. People, they don't know what they don't know. In many cases, they don't know what good looks like. They're clicking along just fine. We're making money. They don't know what good looks like. So that's the challenge of being inside and outside.
If I was a sergeant getting out today, and I said, hey, sir, what advice would you give me relative to how do I integrate into a company? What advice would you give them?
You know, I think sergeants are hard. Assuming you don't have a college degree.
Okay.
Are you going to be blue collar? Are you trying to get to white collar?
I'm going to be blue collar. I want to be blue collar, and I want to get into management of blue collar.
Yeah, so you have to master the technical skills of whatever that job is. And then to expand beyond that, figure out what actually does this company do? How does it make its money? And what are we doing that we shouldn't? What aren't we doing that we should? And can you have that level of conversation with your supervisor and the next level of supervisors? And I've had that. You know, I was in railroading. I actually brought some Marines in to be train dispatchers. They had been air traffic controllers. And so it's a blue-collar union job.
All right.
And, in fact, I brought some Army and Marine. I don't think any Navy or Air Force. And what impressed the hardcore railroaders that worked for me is that these guys had suggestions or had good questions. Often they'd have a good question about why we did something, and there was a really good answer, and we could explain it to them. And other times, oh, because that's why we've always done it. Well, how about if we thought about this? And so as that particular organization is expanding, and it's going to need some people to move into management, which does not require a college degree, et cetera, but it's you're going to be managing these train dispatchers.
Right.
there's going to be some guys with very little experience that are going to get moved up because they had an interest in the business. Why does it work this way? Is there a way to make it work better? Have we thought of this? Maybe I want to, you know, who are interested and inquisitive and not just in there punching a clock. And if you're going to get a job, look, you got to get a job and pay the bills. But if you want to, you want a job where Sunday afternoon you look forward to going in on Monday. And if you got a job like that, then you're going to be naturally inquisitive and interested in how do I make it better. And that will get noticed over time in a good company. That will get noticed over time.
All right. Final question. Do you have to go anywhere? Can you hang out for a bit?
I can. I got a 2 o'clock appointment. I got to get ready. So that's 2 hours. So
okay.
I got time.
No. Mike's going to join us. We had a pretty interesting discussion about stopping power a couple weeks ago. And I'd enjoy having you on and maybe discussing that a little bit.
All righty.
All right.
I look forward.
It was a very interesting discussion about ammunition, and how the Marine Corps does ammunition, historically the mistakes that different nations have made with ammunition, as we have gone to war with training ammunition, if you will. So I wanted to, but a final question about Marines on management. It seems to me that a lot of Marines get very skittish about the application of who they are and what they are as they move into the private sector. I would tell them to be more confident, and your bigger challenge is to assimilate socially and then allow your leadership skills that you practice that they're dying for to naturally come through by taking care of people, doing all the things that you've learned to do as a leader in the Marine Corps. If you do those things, you will put yourself in a position to get promoted, to be successful. The bigger challenge, though, is just socially assimilate and become one of them. I'm curious about your thoughts on that guidance. Do you think we're not confident enough as we move to the civilian sector?
Well, part of the problem is there's a lot of stereotypes out there. You know, people told me, well, you know, in the military, you just told people what to do. I said, yeah, that works once. I mean, I've never seen a good unit where the man at the top had to tell everyone what to do all the time. You got to get people to want to do things and to do them well. I'm absolutely proud of my service, and it's part of who I am, and I never want it to go away, but it's not the first thing that comes out of my mouth every day. That's for damn sure. I think that, like it or not, if you go where there it's a very low percentage of veterans, and you don't know anyone, people are going to have a certain stereotype that will go away pretty quickly once they get to know you. And, that the skills and the character that you have, your willingness to do things for other people, to sacrifice, to be part of a team, to delay gratification, to make sure we get the best result, to be a person of integrity and character that can be relied on in that way, that stuff comes out, and it comes out pretty quickly. I think most businesses are relatively fast moving, that there are opportunities for people's character and what they're made of to be exposed all the time. And then you're going to find out if your company values that or not. And not all of them do. And then you have to make a decision if they don't, is this an organization I want to continue to be a part of? So I would tell people to be very confident. But it's that sort of quiet confidence of the warrior, right?
Right.
You're, you are who you are, and you're willing to take on challenges, and you're going to give people everything you got, and you're going to tell them the truth. That stuff is something that a whole lot of people should want to hire.
All right, we're going to take a break now. Mike Musselman's going to join us, so this should be fun and interesting. Hey, Will.
Hey, Mac, you call me back. I got a call I got to take, and I'll be right back with you.
Okay, all right. I'll call you back in about 3 minutes. We are, you're going to hear from Mike and Will actually work together. Once, maybe twice. They worked together at Weapons Training Battalion. Mike, a gunner, and Will, the CEO of Weapons Training Battalion, and in Quantico. And then they also, I think they worked together, I'm not sure, at First Line Armored Reconnaissance Battalion at Camp Pendleton. So I'm pretty sure they worked there as well. We'll get Mike on the phone and we'll find out. So they're gun guys, and you're going to hear, we'll have a little bit of a gun discussion coming up next on a Thursday edition, Transition Thursday. We're going to transition the discussion into a discussion about guns. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Listen up, employers. Veterans can be a great asset to your company or organization. Veterans have gained skills in leadership, teamwork, and performance under pressure. Veterans have received the very best training in their fields and are never afraid to tackle a tough situation to accomplish the mission. If you are looking to hire a veteran, the Department of Labor can help you make it happen. You hire a veteran today, you won't be sorry.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website. Look at what events they have lined up. Attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.